maybe, in fact, a city as large as Portland might have a somewhat different program than Multnomah County. A program for the city and county might be different from that in Washington County or Clackamas County. These waste sheds also, in some cases, may even cross mountains or other boundaries, where there's one of the president of the recycling organization had worked out a map that's derived more from where the markets are for materials and what the travel distance is, which is another thing that can be incorporated into that waste shed concept. Whatever makes sense in trying to get enough recyclables together in one place to make it economically feasible to do something with them other than burying them.
Good question.
Might I add just one brief comment?
Yes, please.
I am impressed that both the cities and counties representatives have worked on the Draft 5 Center Day approach, and we're going to have their full cooperation because it's basically a city and county problem. And we have to look to those cities and counties for both direction, guidance, and help in our programs. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Starkovich, Mr. Ramos, one more question.
You said a lot of the cities and counties are already working on this, and we're just really talking about another level of recycling. That would seem to imply that there isn't a lot of new research needed by cities and counties as to what is economically feasible.
There is, let's put it this way, there is to get to the kind of level that you're talking about in these two bills, and I think is what the members of this committee hope will occur in recycling. Some of the simpler, easier to recycle materials are already handled. Some of the programs have already been established. We don't have a citywide program in Portland, which we should have. We have a partial program, but not certainly a complete one in Multnomah County, and we should have a complete one there. There needs to be more done. And I do see from the time that we went all the way back to solid waste planning, and each jurisdation hired each group hired consultants who basically had to learn from the word go what solid waste was all about, and then what all these elements were about, that we had a tremendous waste and duplication of effort and money and time. And we tried to avoid that in this case. We wouldn't see DEQ's role as going out to a major industrial plant and trying to identify out of the solid waste stream by picking through it every single item that might be recyclable. But certainly they may be able to identify in a major industrial area that there are four or five oils, plastics, or something else that could be handled, try to help develop a market for them and provide the collection service one way or another. That's the kind of both technical assistance and overall guidance we would expect from DEQ.
So then DEQ is establishing the criteria, but it's the local governments that meet the criteria, that administer the standards.
Yes, and I would suggest, while I certainly don't want to speak for DEQ, that they would probably do the same thing that they have both with respect to this overall bill and their approach to the legislature and their approach between sessions, which is use a task force of all of the parties to try to give them some help and guidance and work on this.
And not just come down and say this is feasible for you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have someone here representing the recycling interest? Come forward, sir.
Thank you. My name is Steve Colton, and I'm a representative of the Association of Oregon Recyclers. I sit on the DEQ Task Force on Solid Waste Legislation. There may, by the way, be other people from the recycling business who would like to talk to you and who might have opinions different from mine. I just wanted to clarify that not all recyclers belong to our Association of Oregon Recyclers. From the very beginning, we supported the original OEC-1 bill. We thought it was streamlined, that it wasn't too terribly involved and complicated, that it would increase the level of recycling, and that it would not terribly impact negatively any existing recycling businesses. We heard from representatives of the various disposal sites who complained about the burden of being the enforcer put on them, and that seemed to make a little sense to us. And we heard from the collection industry complaining that if they were going to be forced to be the recyclers, at least from residential sources, that they would like some sort of protection, possibly franchising, to make sure that they could get the necessary volumes to make it viable. And that also seemed to make some sense to us. And at this point, we would be willing to leave our position in support of Dash 1 and switched to supporting another version of the bill. However, I must say that at this point, looking at the two bills that we have to look at, we prefer number 2-2 to dash 5 for a number of reasons. Let me just touch on our main concerns that we see as the greatest priorities. First one is to make sure that we don't go backwards. We want to protect the existing recycling industries as much as possible. And the question of franchising, which it looks may come about through this legislation or otherwise, in a sense gives an exclusive right to handling recyclable materials to the collection industry. As far as residential recycling is concerned, we really don't have much problem with that. It seems appropriate for the collection industry to handle those things, and we don't see many existing recycling businesses who would be negatively impacted by that. As far as applying this to commercial and industrial sources, it's more complicated, and there are some things that I think we need to make sure that we protect existing businesses. In the Dash 2 bill, we made sure that we had a what we called a fair market value clause that made sure that anyone who is currently purchasing source-separated recyclable materials would be exempted from the bill. The fair market value clause phrase itself has been dropped from the Dash 5 bill. That troubles us. There are also some definitions in the Dash 5 version that are unclear to us and we're a little afraid of. For example, the definitions of collection service and the definition of collector. Let me point those out specifically. In the Dash 5 bill, turn to page 4, if you will, lines 16 through 19. The definition of solid waste collection service here seems to be extended beyond people who collect garbage to include, in the last two words there, solid waste simply for purposes of recycling. And if you're turning...
Saturday.
Why would you not want to be defined there? Why should you not be defined there? You're asking not to be defined under that section, as I understand. Is that correct?
At a minimum, we would like to make sure that the intent of this bill is clearly demonstrated that it is not the intent of this committee or the state legislation to jeopardize existing recycling businesses.
How does that jeopardize local recycling businesses? How does that do it?
Anyone who is currently collecting recyclable materials from commercial and industrial sources,
16-19.
We want exempted from the franchising arrangements that may come out of this legislation.
Right. Why do you want to be exempted from that? Why do you want to be exempted from that? Why does that necessarily mean that you should be exempted over someone else? Why am I asking?
We are concerned that the inevitable result may be that the garbage haulers will end up with an exclusive authorization and monopoly over the collection of recyclable materials. As I have already stated, we don't necessarily have a problem with that from residential sources.
But Mr. Chairman, let me go on with that. That's really a local government decision, though, if the how the franchise is given, is it not? See, I guess what you're asking us to do here at the state level is to automatically exempt you and not leave that in the hands of local government and how they determine that exemption. Are you not?
We would prefer that there be some language in the state bill
that prevents local government from doing either one. I mean, either exempting you or including the entire thing. Maybe, wonder if local government chooses to do that. You don't want them to have that option. Is that correct? You want us to preclude that option from there?
I think what I hear you saying is that, well, let me just say what we do want.
Okay.
We would prefer that the state bill clearly state that people who are currently picking up source-separated recyclable materials, at least from commercial and industrial sources, for, quote, fair market value, be exempted from the franchising that may evolve out of this bill. Because what either one of these bills, my understanding, that even if there is already an existing franchise for solid waste collection, This would require that that existing franchise be extended to include recyclables as well as garbage.
Mr. Chairman,
I just want to get clear in my mind, because I want clear what we're being asked to do. Local government makes that decision now, don't they, if they choose to go into a franchise? They would make that decision now.
That's my answer.
Conceivably, if you were in Salem, Oregon, and the city council determined that they wanted one collector to pick up the garbage, they could make that decision now, could they not?
Yes.
And if we put this into the law, then we are taking that flexibility from local government, are we not, where they could not mandate this. It would prohibit it. It would guarantee that a particular individual could continue under that cloud now, which you don't have right now, which could change if they decide to go to a franchise system, right?
I believe, if I understand you correctly, I believe the answer is yes.
The only thing I want to point out to the committee is that when we decide to do this, and I'm not sure I object necessarily to it, but what we're really saying is that we're, from this point forward, a city or a county who determined, or a collection, who determined they wanted it, maybe to have something different would be precluded from doing it.
I don't think we've decided any of that.
No, I think that's what they're asking.
Well, I'm not sure if they don't, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry.
Okay, I guess what I'm saying, she may not be sure. I'm saying that's what I think they're saying.
I don't know what they're saying because I haven't read two.
Okay.
The definition of solid waste collection service or service means the collection, transportation, or disposal of or resource recovery from solid waste, but does not include that part of a business licensed under ORS 481345. 481345 pertains to wreckers' licenses. So you're saying that an auto wrecker could not recycle smashed up auto bodies? Is that, or could not that part of his business could not be designated a solid waste collection service? Is that the way the
Which bill are you referring to?
I'm sorry, I'm looking at 405-5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are you talking?
I'm on page 11.
Okay.
And I'm looking at
page 11?
Yes.
On the marked up copy?
Of the marked up.
All right, fine.
Which is in the definition section.
Okay.
And it's the definition of solid waste collection service. And it reads that it cannot include that part of a business licensed under ORS 481345. So if you have a business that say has multiple functions and one of them is auto wrecking, that portion of the business that is auto wrecking cannot ever buy this then be designated as a solid waste collection service. So that auto wrecker, if I read this right, could not on his own establish a recycling service, that he would have to recycle those materials through some other collection service. Am I reading that correctly?
That is an existing law. I don't believe that's an amended portion.
This is existing law?
I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think that's...
That's an existing law.
That's an existing statute, I believe.
So the question, Mr. Chairman, is whether there's been a change in dash 2 or dash 5 of that particular part of the law and whether what we've done to that...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, could I back up and approach this from
yes.
a little different
yes,
angle?
Why don't you do that?
Currently, there are rendering companies that go to various commercial sources to pick up fats. There are companies that recycle plastics that go to various companies to pick up granulated ABS trimmings, for example. There are companies, paper companies, that go and pick up various grades of paper, some baled, some in loose form. Most of those things are done where the collector is purchasing those materials from the generator of those materials. We want to make sure that those things that are currently going on are exempted and are not in danger of coming under the any solid waste franchising that may result out of this bill. Now, I really don't think there's much problem with that so long as the person picking up those materials is paying for them. Under dash 5, it specifically says, I believe it's page 7, section 10, line 11, nothing in this 1983 Act applies to a person who purchases source-separated or recyclable materials. So as far as when there is an exchange of money changing hands, that does seem to be exempted at that point. In the bill dash 2, page 7, line 17.
Can you hold on just a minute so we can keep up with you?
There we go.
I need a 2, I guess.
You can look right here.
So your question was, does either version change existing law on that point?
See, they've got fair market value here. That's what the issue is.
And they're talking about fair market value. If you added fair market value, that would take care of your concern, really.
We believe so. And I think it will be left open to a certain extent to interpretation at the local level.
Could you give us where you are again? I've lost it in the...
Page 7 on either version.
Line 18 on 2, Mr. Chairman. Line 18 on 2.
Okay, thank you.
Page 7.
Okay. The phrase fair market value was dropped when dash 5 was written. At the local level, I suppose there will have to be some determination of whether or not this exemption applies to materials that are currently being picked up but not purchased, where no money changes hands. And there are all sorts of games that can be played there. But there is other language similar to this that concerns us because we do see it as being unclear in the draft dash 5. Also on page 7, lines 21 to 24, I referred to, where collector is defined not only as being someone who picks up solid waste material, but or any person who obtains recyclable material, processes the material for reuse or recycling. My reading of that extension of that definition of collector would include all those people I just mentioned who picked up fats and ABS, plastic scrap, etc., etc., etc.
Okay, that's my reading too, Mr. Chairman, and I guess the point is I see no reason, I've heard nothing here to tell me why they should be exempted, why they should be deleted. That's the question. You're saying what you don't like is it's in there. Why should it not be in there? Give us the reason why not.
All right.
Just because you don't want it in there doesn't do it.
My understanding is that when you franchise something, it's an extension, an intervention of government that, to a certain extent, interrupts the capitalist free market system.
Okay.
And problems can arise, such as the Boulder decision that you may be aware of, where franchising was challenged as for antitrust problems. I sympathize with the collectors. If they're going to have to pick up recyclables from residential sources, I'm quite willing to give them immunity and some protection from antitrust problems so that something doesn't happen here like happened in Boulder. But I don't want to extend franchising and the intervention of the government into free market capitalist enterprises in the recycling realm that are currently underway. I don't want franchising to extend to those things. I want them to continue to operate the way they are now, with free competition and without any exclusivity, as would happen with franchising.
My point, let me just ask one more. Currently, under the current law, that could happen to you right now.
It's possible.
You bet it is. You bet it is. And under the current law, in many cases, they have exempted you. But that's been a decision made by local government at the local level, hasn't it?
To my knowledge, there hasn't been any situation in Oregon, and I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, there hasn't been any situation in Oregon where franchising has been applied to materials that were being collected, recyclable materials that were being collected and purchased for fair market value.
And your major concern is that...
Are you aware of any situation where that's happening?
Yeah, I think I am, but I'm not going to get into it right now. Your concern right now is that... If we didn't consider if we did not include on line 22 business and on dash 5 business industrial customers, and you added fair market value under section 10 when we address recycling materials, that would address your concerns?
That would address one of my concerns. I'm also concerned with the definition of collector as it exists here on page 7, and with the definition of collection service that I pointed on page 4, and some other points that I haven't referred to as yet that I see as language that is a little bit unclear and that I find a little bit frightening. For example, in the dash 5 bill on page 6, if you go back one page, page 6, lines 16 and 17, a city or county may award a franchise for solid waste collection service under this section with or without bid or request for proposals. So simply to add the phrase fair market value to the exemption sentence, yes, that would satisfy one of my objections, but certainly not all of them.
Okay, what other objections do you have?
Beyond the ones that I've mentioned, let's see here. What else have I listed?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Sharkovich?
I'd like to ask a stupid question. Why is franchising even necessary?
In some instances, it may not be. I'm not saying that it is necessary, and that's why I supported the original OEC number 1, where franchising, at least in the original version, was not dealt with, I don't believe. But I can, to a certain extent, sympathize with what the haulers have said about, at least from residential sources, if they're going to be forced to pick up recyclable materials, they would like to have some sort of an exclusive in order to guarantee the necessary volumes to make it economically feasible. I can understand their concern there. I am opposed to this state legislation mandating franchising. And in the Dash 5 bill, there is a clause that says that if such and such goes on somewhere down the line and the performance on recycling isn't satisfactory in a certain local area, that the state can mandate and require franchising in that local area. That language is in Dash 5, and I would prefer that it not be in there.
Then you don't support franchise?
In certain local situations, I do support it. I think it's a matter for local discretion.
Oh, I see.
Did you have some additional points that you didn't get to?
Yes, I did. I would prefer that whatever version of this bill comes out of this committee, that it not have any red flags on it that might jeopardize its ability to be passed by the legislature. And I see one thing in particular as being a red flag on Dash 5, and that is on page 4, section 7. Beginning line 8, lines 8 through 10, my reading of that sentence, a person may not put solid waste out to be collected unless the person has separated all recyclable materials. I read that as being a program that would be mandatory on every householder as well as every business and industry, making it mandatory for them to source separate all recyclable materials. At this point, I think it would be a mistake to make recycling mandatory on the generators of the solid waste. For one thing, it just doesn't seem to be in good faith or fair to people to make it mandatory when, in my opinion, up until this time, we haven't done a good enough job of making a convenient opportunity available for them to do it on a voluntary basis.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir, Sparkley.
if we don't put the burden of sort of recycling on the people who generate the waste, who on whose shoulders do we put it? And isn't the reason that they haven't done it not because there hasn't been the program, or is because there hasn't been the program, I should say. Who if not the generator, should source separate?
Well, the generator is the only person who can source separate. and I'm in favor of some sort of a bill here to make it mandatory for collection services to offer the opportunity to recycle. That was the original title of the OEC bill, the Opportunity to Recycle Bill. But at this point, I don't think it's fair or in good faith to make it mandatory for the generators, the householders, or the businesses and industries who generate waste to require, make it mandatory, that they source separate all recyclable materials, because in my opinion, we have not yet given them an adequate, convenient opportunity to recycle up until now. I would first like to see us give them an opportunity to do it voluntarily.
Go ahead and finish.
Before we resort to a mandatory provision like that.
But aren't we, say we haven't given them an adequate opportunity to recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Nor have we rewarded them for recycling.
Senator Hamby's point, nor have we rewarded them. But I guess I get back, you know, the separation is going to need to be done at some stage. And so who does it if not the generator?
I think the citizens should be given the chance to do it voluntarily with adequate, convenient opportunity for them to recycle before we resort to telling them they have to absolutely do it. And there would be problems with enforcing a provision like that as well, I might point out. Now, neither the OEC 1-1...
Sitting on the sidewalk, you don't pick it up if it's not separated.
Well, what if the bottles are in one sack separated and the cans are not? They're mixed in. In every situation, someone would have to make a judgment at every household on whether they had thoroughly done their job of sort of separating the various materials that are required.
Isn't that a good way of conducting public education on recycling? If you don't separate glass from metal, we're not going to pick up your garbage.
Well, we can spend a lot of time on that point, but suffice it to say that my opinion is that, first of all, neither the OEC number one nor the OEC number two made it mandatory on the householder. The dash five is the only version, well, actually dash four and dash five, did have this clause that we might resort to that mandatory situation. I would prefer that it not be in there. It's one of the reasons that I support the OEC two at this point.
Okay, thank you.
I believe people will.
Senator Davis first, then Senator Hammond.
Go ahead, sir.
Following up on Senator Starkovich's, could you support a notion that we would mandate anyone picking up haulers, etc., to reward the source for recycling?
Certainly. And at a minimum, I want to make sure that people who do source separate not be charged more. And I think both versions have been careful to point that out.
The reverse, if we were to mandate.
I could support that, yes.
Reward those that
do source separate, yes. I could support that.
Senator Day?
Well, first of all, I think that's going to be wishful thinking because there's going to be a cost to getting mandatory separation. It's going to be a cost for the householder as well as a cost for the... Eventually, I think that if there is a mandated program that... you may indeed see a reduction in cost overall, but that's hard to tell. It's like utility rates. The cost of garbage collection is going to go up and up and up. I've told that time again. But if you don't think there's been an honest effort made over the last 10 years to get source separation and volunteerism and educational programs, then I guess you just have been in the state very long, because there's been time after time efforts, major efforts made, try to do that. And I think that it's going to come a time when, yeah, we may have to say to the individual, we have a number of things. We're talking about the individual's going to have to commit to environmental regulations, but I don't think that's why necessarily you're discussing it, so I'm not going to get into it. I think what your major concern is in the industrial waste area, and that you preserve your right to stay in business is what you're really asking, and you don't want a franchise system to intervene in that effort. I understand that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions? Do you have some more points, or are you cover them all here?
No, I think I've taken enough of your time, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Do you have that written down at all? Because my staff would like sort of a summary of those points.
Could you provide that to us? I will provide that in the future. I don't have it at this time.
Okay, maybe if you could just get that to him first of the week.
All right, very good.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, would you like to come up, Mr. Donahue?
I didn't sign up. Didn't
oh, no one signed up. We're just calling the parties involved one at a time. We would have gotten to you, but since you're here, well...
Very quickly, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tom Donica for Associated Oregon Industries. The number five draft, so-called Day, Senator Day draft, does one thing that we think is important, and that is that up front it makes a determination, requires a determination of what is recyclable. We have been somewhat concerned and have voiced that concern in the advisory committee that we would like to know what's in that waste stream that has enough value to justify it, to make certain that we're on factual grounds rather than